Crisis Hotline, an anonymous and confidential phone call away. When you don't know where to turn, call Crisis Hotline. A trained volunteer is available right now to listen, provide comfort, and referrals. 208-788-3596. Call Crisis Hotline. They can help. 24 hours a day. Crisis Hotline, 788-3596.
KDPI 89.3 FM Ketchum, community radio for the Wood River Valley. Welcome to Our Health Culture, a show about how our physiology interacts with our beliefs, our environment, and sustenance we take in from our planet's Earth. Hi, my name is Julie Johnson. I am a practicing nutritional therapist and owner of Nourish Me, the health food store in Ketchum, where we support food, farming, and the healing arts. Today, we are talking to Catherine Gailey. She is the founder and executive director of Nurture, which includes chapters in both Idaho and Illinois. A mom herself, she is passionate about nutrition, education for children and families. She is an active volunteer for Chefs Move to Schools, an ambassador for the Jamie Oliver Food Revolution, a PreventObesity.net leader, and a community hero for the Edible Schoolyard Project. She holds a master's degree in business administration and a certification in nutritional counseling. She is also the creator of the website and blog Healthy Kids Ideas Exchange, which has been a source of recipes and inspiration for parents since 2008, whose tagline reads, "Teach a man to fish, and he will eat the rest of his life." Nurture envisions communities working in collaborative ways to enhance nutrition and wellness of children and families. Nurture combines volunteer time and talents along with the curricula and financial resources to support nutrition and wellness services. They partner with other organizations and individuals in a fun, hands-on way with the goal of leveraging efforts and resources to enhance the quality of life in our community. According to Dr. David Crow and Ayurvedic medicine, the five root causes of diseases are nutrition, environmental toxicity, social economic stress, spiritual root and medicine itself, as in prescription drugs. The solution is the garden. How? By increasing nutritional status, children can learn where food comes from. The experience can be a humanizing, illuminating epiphany and helps them get away from artificial sweetness. Gardens detoxify the spaces. Even an organically cared for urban garden can sequester carbon and are cleaner than big ag farming practices. Socially, they can reduce economic stress, as even poor people have access to these community gardens. Spiritual awakening. When we are in touch with the seasons and the planet and touch the soil we grasp, our connectedness more clearly. By using plants and plant medicine, we start to get away from medications that dumb us down. The garden. We must get back to the garden and sustainable practices. Then truly, instead of catching a man a fish where he will eat for one day, we can teach a man to fish where he can eat all the days of his life. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning, Julie. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited because we not only have you, which you have an amazing background, but we also have two children here going to the community school who have been in your program. We have Tilly David and Elena Gailey, your daughter. And so we're going to be able to hear from them pretty soon, too.
We're excited to have my friend Tilly and my daughter Elena, and they're excited as well. Say hello.
Hi!
There they are, cute as a button. Okay, Catherine, this is very, very cool what you've started, and you started it back, your hometown, I'm presuming, in Illinois.
Yes, I grew up in Evanston. And I've always been interested in nutrition. I actually grew up in the household of a biochemist.
Oh.
That was my dad. And he is one of my most important influencers in my life. He's a great mentor, continues to be. I actually just talked to him right before we came into the radio show.
Did you have him listen?
He's going to. Yes, he's so excited, and he's quite proud to have his granddaughter.
So you can listen online, kdpifm.org, and you can hear it live, streaming.
And it's going to be recorded, right, so we can
send
out links.
We're recording right now.
Fantastic. So he's a biochemist, and he always would say things to me and my sister like, have you had enough protein today? Protein is the building blocks of your body. And so I learned all about macronutrients and micronutrients from a very early age. And I got excited about the idea that food is fuel and that we should really become great friends with food because it's such an important part of our life. So I've
Absolutely.
Always been interested in nutrition. Now, interestingly, I did not go into nutrition as a career, much to my father's dismay. And he wanted me to go to medical school, actually. Maybe I will someday.
Yeah.
But I went into management consulting for over 10 years. And then when I became a mother in 2000 with Elena and then with my son Alex in 2003, I saw that management consulting really wasn't compatible with the lifestyle as a mother that I wanted to lead. So at that point, I took some time off. And it's a great time just to spend time with the family and think about what you want to do in the world. And I was going for weekly walks with my dad, and we would talk about all the things that were going on. And he was reading a lot of, always reading the medical journals. And that was the early 2000s. And
a lot was happening then. A lot was starting to get published.
And that was when that statistic, that alarming statistic came out. And I will say it very slowly because I want all the listeners to really think about this, okay? So 1 out of 3 of our nation's youth will develop diabetes if they continue to eat the standard American diet.
Yeah.
Now, what does the standard American diet stand for?
Sad.
And actually, that made me very sad. And I would watch my daughter and her, say, two friends play in a group of three, and I would look at them.
And think one of them is going to have diabetes.
Right.
Yeah.
And I couldn't live with that. And I think if we all really think about what that means for our future, we all should get going on doing something about it. And that's really where Nurture started, because I wanted to do something to change that statistic. Mm-hmm. And again, from my dad and reading all the medical journals, I knew that the propensity for these nutritionally related diseases was much higher in low-income populations. So while I wanted to make a difference in my own life, in my family's life, I felt like getting to the families that really needed it the most was the priority.
Yeah, that's a good place, because the more people that are healthy, the healthier nation we have.
Exactly. So we started Nurture, and our first client was a food pantry, and they recruited families. So making sure that it was families, because we wanted to work with the entire family unit.
Yeah.
And we wanted to attack the problem through cooking classes. And I think it's very interesting that we started that way, because I think sometimes people get turned off by the word nutrition.
Yes. It sounds complicated somehow, huh?
Well, it is. It is very complicated, and we've made it very complicated.
Yeah.
The nutritionists themselves, and I have my certification in nutritional counseling, and so I count myself as one of the folks that have played a role in this complicated industry that we are part of.
Yeah.
But people can get turned off by the word nutrition. And so we'd never called Nurture nutrition education or consulting. We called it cooking classes.
Yeah.
And so actually, we were having cooking classes that were disguising our nutrition education. And that made it really fun.
It makes it fun, though, right?
And I love Michael Pollan, who says we need to get back in the kitchen.
Yes.
I mean, we just want to get people out of the fast food lines and get them into the kitchen.
Yeah. And that's a whole social dynamic there, organizing one's life. So it takes more time to cook breakfast in the morning. I don't know why it does. We grew up with breakfast, but you see a lot of children these days, their parents don't cook, and they would go to, let's just throw something at you that's pre-made, or not even eat. Just jump into the car, we're going to school. And so getting that fashionable again.
Absolutely. Not just fashionable, but it's also about systematically overcoming the obstacles to cooking. And so when we were working with our low-income clients, we asked them, what are your challenges? And the first one was time. The second one was know-how. And the third one was economics or having the budget. So we systematically approached each one of them. So the cooking classes addressed the know-how. And in an hour, we could make, with the use of a rice cooker or a slow cooker or just some extra helping hands, we could make 4 or 5 dishes in an hour and say, wow, this is awesome and delicious. With the time, the rice cooker and the slow cooker can be amazing.
Yes.
The rice cooker is the worst name for that little device because you can make oatmeal and millet and steel-cut oats and all kinds of grains, lentils. You can make a lot of stuff in it. Yes. So I think people put it in their cabinet and think, oh, I'll use it when I have rice.
Yeah.
But it's a fantastic little device.
Yeah, we put quinoa in ours at Nourish Me, for instance, and or rice or millet. And you can do a lot with it. And it keeps it warm a long time as well throughout the day, which is good in a restaurant. Now at home, you can prepare all these things ahead of time. Again, there's time. There's that four-letter word. But set your alarm 15 minutes earlier in the morning.
And then you can make your slow cooker recipe.
Yeah.
And that's really been a life changer for people. And Nurture was behind the donation to the Hunger Coalition of those 350 or so slow cookers that we gave to them. And the Hunger Coalition has done a fantastic
job.
Here in this valley. Doing nutrition and cooking programs around those slow cookers. And the last obstacle was cost. And so all of our recipes, which were carefully developed by our food committee, they're all less than $1.50 per serving. Now, that can be a challenge for sure, but if you're using the right ingredients, beans, whole grains, lentils, fruits and vegetables, you can do it.
Yeah, and here we can. We have our local farmers growing all kinds of beans, potatoes. I mean, we've got a lot of, we have good grains as well.
I was very surprised to find out how much is grown here in Idaho when we moved here.
Yeah. This high mountain desert produces quite a lot. So I love what you're doing. This is exactly what it's going to take to make these changes away from these horrible foods that we've been hoodwinked into thinking they're good. And, you know, we saw the movie Fed Up where they were showing a side by side, you had a Snickers bar, and it showed you the calorie, and it showed you whatever they had in there. But the big piece was they showed you the amount of sugar. So let's say it had 25 grams of sugar. And then they showed you what we would call a health bar. So that would have oats and fruits and such in it and a bunch of other chemicals, thank you. And it had the same amount of sugar in it, side by side. So that doesn't mean, oh, I guess I'll go back to eating my Snickers bar. What it means is don't eat it.
And it's tricky because we don't know if the sugar is added or if it's naturally occurring. And so what we really need to do is be reading our labels. And that's one of the things that we teach at Nurture. But you're right. You said you love what Nurture's doing. I love doing it. And I love the opportunity that it presents to work with students. And I think what Tilly and Elena's class is doing at the community school with their food unit, they're doing a 12-week deep study or deep dive study into food.
And what grades are we in? Eight?
Eight.
Yes. Yeah, eighth grade. This is great.
So it really aligns with what Nurture's mission is, which is to support grassroots efforts around nutrition education or cooking. Mm-hmm. And so it makes a lot of sense because Scott Runkle and Naomi Goldberg are experts in and of themselves, and they can teach the students what they need to be investigating. And then I can act, and Nurture's board and our volunteers can act as mentors and guides. So we're not necessarily delivering the program directly, but we're supporting it, and that can just enhance the program.
Yes.
So through their WOW project, what we're doing to enhance it, first of all, we worked with one of the groups on Food Day, and we had a veggie burger cooking demonstration. It was really fun because the kids had just seen Cowspiracy, and nobody wanted to eat meat anymore. And so we were concerned about protein.
Yes.
And so we had Lori Bunting, a local chef, come in, and she did a fantastic hour-long cooking demonstration with the kids, and the kids got to make the burgers and taste it. So what did you guys think of the burgers and that cooking session?
The burgers tasted really good. They were really easy. We did have a lot of people making them together, but they were simple and they tasted really good.
T, Tilly, do you think you would make it again on your own?
I did make them again on my own.
Well, yeah. Did you serve your family?
Yeah, my mom and I made them last week, I think, and they tasted just as good. They were easy.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. What did your mom say now that you're going to be the chef in the family?
No, but she liked the recipe. She really did. Yeah. We're gonna do it again.
Another family favorite that you can make.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks. Elena, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, I wanted to say that Elena's group was part of the Food Day group, which was on actual Food Day. So this is something that's organized through the Center of Science and the Public Interest on October 24th every year. And so Elena's group wanted to do something that would reach more people, and actually younger children. Because younger children will listen to these girls?
That age group, absolutely.
Oh, you should have seen the faces. When I'll describe the event, and Elena will talk a little bit more about it, the faces of these children walking in and seeing the eighth graders serving. So what they did is they made a homemade from scratch lunch, and it was a beautiful whole grain protein veggie. We had a salad bar. The kids made, I'm not even going to tell you, I'm going to let Elena tell you what they made for edible art, so that the kids walked in the room and they had a feast of the eyes.
And what age group were these children?
These were all of the elementary students at community school. So about 100 kids plus the 30 teachers, and then about 12 of them working on it. But this was actually Elena's group idea to do this edible art.
Oh, good job. We're going to hear from Elena.
Well, what we did on Food Day is part of our class went to farms, but some of us decided to stay behind and help out with Food Day in the elementary school. So in the morning, we all met together at our house, and we had some breakfast that we had enough fuel for the day. We had this really good pumpkin pecan oatmeal, I think. It's pretty healthy.
Sounds great.
It was really good. And then we got our game plan together, and we actually went out to our own garden, and we picked lettuce for the salad bar, and it was really fun. We had a lot of fun preparing the meal. So once we picked our lettuce, we all loaded up into the car, and we drove over to community school, where some of us had already gone over and started decorating. But for the first couple hours, we started making edible art, which we made pumpkin clementines and banana ghosts, and they were adorable.
Oh, that sounds so great. What child isn't going to want to eat that?
Yeah.
Or did they eat it? They played with it instead.
No, especially the pumpkins. They were a huge hit.
Yeah.
But everyone really liked all of them. They were gone. We had to split them up so that the first couple groups wouldn't eat them all.
Yes, yes.
But for our main meal, we made fiesta casserole because that's a really delicious, one of my favorite recipes. It's really healthy, too.
What's in the fiesta casserole?
There is brown rice and sometimes also quinoa. There's also salsa and many different spices and some lemon juice. There's also and cilantro. Oh, and beans.
Oh, that's sure. So you have shapes and colors of different sizes. Yeah.
And then we always put cheese on top of it because that just makes it perfect.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds great.
I have to step in and have Elena talk a little bit more about fiesta casserole because a couple years ago, this recipe won the Idaho recipe for the Healthy Kids State Challenge at the White House.
Oh.
And Elena got to go and have lunch with Michelle Obama.
I saw that picture of you. That is so exciting. That's very, you must have that picture framed in your bedroom.
Yeah, it was such a great experience. I loved doing it with my mom. We both got to go to the White House together, and actually our entire family came to Washington, D.C. But it was just such a cool experience. I don't know.
So here you go.
Michelle Obama was really great. It was so cool to see her, and she made this really cool speech about how we are such good people for making our country healthier.
Absolutely. That's how what it takes, going into people's homes and having that many people in front of you. You stood out in front of over 100 people to show them how it could be. Sounds like you're headed to a teaching opportunity here.
And what Michelle Obama asked the group, all the 54 kids that were there with their parent or guardian, is that they become ambassadors to their community.
Yes.
So Elaine and I talk a lot about that, because we talk about how change does need to start from within and then ripple out. And that's how we're going to change this world.
It is exactly how we're going to do it. And I want to say that it's a grassroots kind of an event. It is, I'm not sounding sexist when I say this, but it's getting back and mom into the kitchen. And we are, part of our instinctual thing is to feed the baby. And I think that may have been for you. Here you've got an education to go on and be a doctor or something like that. You have children and you really instantly realize the true priority here for us is we want healthy as we can offspring. And it means more than just our ego involved in that. I look at my beautiful children. It means the perpetuation of the humans on the planet here.
Absolutely.
And a healthy culture to be in. So that's so much more fun to go to school with healthy children, right?
Absolutely. And we feel very lucky to be in this valley. I do think there's such a wonderful health culture. I mean, this is called our health culture. But we have so much that we can... Yeah. That we can access here in the valley, and I think we can be great examples to the rest of the country.
Well, that brings us to why you moved from Illinois to, you know, backwater Idaho here.
Well, our friends still think we're in Iowa.
Yes. So that you really didn't move that far.
Right, right. Yeah. No, we made a conscious decision to seek out a healthier lifestyle. And the kids are so happy with that choice. We moved when Elena was in fifth grade and Alexander, her younger brother, was in third grade. And the pivot moment for us, or the pivoting moment, maybe we could call it the tipping point, was we went and we saw this movie called The Race to Nowhere. And it talked about the levels of stress in children today.
Yes.
And it talked about what they're experiencing physically. Fourth graders with ulcers.
Oh, yeah.
And it has a lot to do with, yes, college admissions and but it's also...
I don't think we should be worrying about that in fourth grade just quite yet.
Yeah, there's the word balance is very important in everything that Nurture does and how we teach. Mm-hmm. Balance is key, but it's really the recipe for, or it's the key ingredient in the recipe for a healthy life.
Yes.
And we've been coming here to visit since 1995, and we always felt more balanced here.
Yeah. Oh, that's a beautiful story. A lot of us did come here to the Wood River Valley for that. Because we also have culture here, too. We have got this mountain that we like to ski on, and we've got these mountains that we can go summer and fall, winter, spring, into, you know, and instantly touch the earth and be part of that.
Yeah, I would say the friends that I have that are in Illinois that actually know where we are are jealous and think about, wow, you know, Catherine can be a mother and be a working mother,
yeah,
and still get out in the mountain,
yeah,
in the mountains every day. I try to hike and ski and go on the Nordic trails. And the kids do that as well, and they're involved with a lot of sports. So the advantage to that is that there's such a great community of folks in Chicago, and the kids can talk about how their WELL project will be culminating in bringing out somebody I know from Chicago. Her name is Jean Pinsoff Nolan, and she is the founder of the Organic Gardener. And she also just got back from Italy, conference.
From the slow food movement, yeah.
Fantastic event. I was just reading about it this morning. 3,000 people came, including Jamie Oliver, and Michelle Obama, I think, was beamed in. And Alice Waters had some amazing things to say about the importance of the edible education movement.
Yeah.
And so I was talking to Jean when she got back from Italy, and I said, there's so much here I'd love to show you, and these kids would love to have an event to celebrate the culmination of their food unit. Would you like to come? And so she not only said yes, but she waived her significant speaking fee to come.
To come here.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so great. Well, we can't wait until that happens and meet her in person. That's exactly what our health culture is about. And we still, a lot of us here that believe we could make this community an example, the whole Wood River Valley, because we do grow a lot of very good foods. And by the way, we do eat meat here, and we're eating it from animal that's out in the pasture that is giving us lots of good nutrition. And it's important in our high altitude here in the cold that we experience. So it is appropriate foods in the right way, of course. Yeah. Well, this has been very fascinating. We have been speaking with Catherine Guillet with the Nurture Program, and she's brought in her daughter, Elena Guillet, and Tilly David as well, Michael David's daughter. And you're listening to Our Health Culture on KDPI 89.3 FM. We're going to be right back.
Underwriting for Our Health Culture is by Bunny Whitaker, who believes vitality and happiness begin with health, and health is achieved through an active lifestyle, good whole foods, and a positive attitude.
KDPI 89.3 FM, drop-in radio for the Wood River Valley.
Hurdle on the roof, child.
Hurdle, hurdle.
Hurdle on the roof, child. Hurdle on the roof, child. Call it tribulations. Call it tribulations. Call it tribulations. I know my Lord wouldn't treat me this way. Hurdle on the roof, child. On the roof, child. Hurdle on the roof, child. I read about the rapture. I read about the rapture. I read about the rapture. I know my Lord wouldn't leave me this way. Hurdle on the roof, child.
This is a song called I Like Vegetables. It's by Perry Grip, and it's just a fun way of saying how much we need to eat our vegetables.
Is this a song that you play for the children?
Yes. Everyone really likes this video, or the song.
It's a video as well.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Okay.
Cars, you can't sell to me. I spend all of my money on celery. Guarantee, there's no stopping me. When the plate I see contains a broccoli. Like I told you before, I'm hardcore. All the food that I store goes in the vegetable drawer. Some people bring soda to your house and share it, but the party don't start till I show up with my carrots. Call Dr. Phil and warn Oprah. I'm gonna eat up all of the okra. I'm notorious, I'm nefarious. I don't spare one spear of asparagus. You think you're tough, you think you're hard. I'm gonna eat the chard right out your yard. My enemies cower when they feel the power that I gain when I devour a cauliflower.
I like vegetables.
She's a young girl talking about herself.
Welcome back to Our Health Culture. We just listened to Perry Grip, Mega Party, Eat Your Vegetables, bop, 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 bop. We have been speaking with Catherine Guiley with the Nurture Program, and she has brought some of the children here from the community school in the eighth grade. Eating sugary and artificially sweetened and chemically laden foods, stress causes a stress response on the body's delicately balanced hormonal system. These products in the body raises our pancreas production of cortisol. Cortisol decreases the effectiveness of the immune system by affecting leukocytes, eosinophils, neutrophils, phagocytes, and T lymphocytes. These components are integral to defending the body against invading microorganisms and internal threats. Higher and more sustained serum cortisol levels, such as those found in chronic stress, have been shown to have negative effects, such as decreased cognitive function, thyroid function, immune function, bone density and muscle tissue. Furthermore, this increased serum cortisol also leads to hypoglycemia, hypertension, and increased abdominal fat. Increased serum cortisol can also cause mood swings, depression, insomnia, decreased memory, and memory function. Cortisol increases serum glucose levels. As a result of cortisol's influence on liver glycogen, more glucose is released into the bloodstream. In other words, cortisol acts to inhibit the effects of insulin, predisposing an individual to diabetic serum glucose values. In short, diabetes. A recent study found that children who regularly ate school lunches were 29% more likely to be obese than their peers who brought lunch from home. In a typical week, elementary school menus include chicken tenders, cheeseburgers, and pizza Fridays, with sides of cheesy rotini, mozzarella sticks, and french fries. Beware that these foods are not only made with highly heated and processed fragile and rancid seed oils, they are laden with sugar, chemicals, and artificially intoxifying flavors. A healthy meal can be hard for students to come by in a public school cafeteria and is especially challenging for school systems to provide. While many school districts are working to revamp their lunchroom meals, the fact is the most school lunches are not prepared from scratch and don't use fresh fruits and vegetables. Rather, they are prepared from a heat and serve mentality, copying all of our fast foods in this country. Ann Cooper and Lisa M. Holmes state in their book, 2006, Lunch Lessons, French fries account for 46% of vegetable servings eaten by children ages 2 to 19 across the nation. And our modern artificial fructose-laden version of ketchup is written into the school lunch program as a vegetable serving. Come on, folks, wake up. Welcome back. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Julie.
I just want to say we love the song.
It's a great one. And again, with the audience, usually, I mean, these students here are eighth graders, but the elementary students particularly like it. And I urge the listeners to go onto YouTube and search for the Perry Grip I Like Vegetables video.
Perry, P-A-R-R-Y. Yeah.
Yes, and he's got one where he's just showing vegetables and they're kind of flashing on the screen, and there's another one that's animated, and the kids really like that one too. Yeah. So it's all about making it fun,
yes,
and getting kids excited and getting them, we want to empower them to make their own decisions, because when they're young, we were talking about, being a mother of a young child, we have a lot of influence over what goes, or 100% of the influence, yeah, over what goes into a child's mouth. But as the kids get older, and certainly in eighth grade, they're making a lot of their own choices on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And we become, as a parent or as teachers, we become much less dictating and much more guiding. And so it becomes sort of a more soft approach. And I think that's
and
more effective.
Obviously, if those fruits are in the house and you started it that way, you've been making your lunch, you know, from the beginning, it's going to be a lot easier. But you guys are definitely in the danger category because you have an allowance and you have more free time. Right? What do you do after school? You're going to hang out with your friends. You're going to go to the ice cream shop. Do we even have one here? And, you're going to be more apt to hang out at the coffee shops. I know that's pretty a popular place to hang out. And there's going to be sweeties.
Absolutely. And again, it's all about balance, but we want to, and I go back to what my dad used to ask me when I was a child, where's the protein? You know, and just understanding what the macronutrients are and getting healthy fats and getting balance. But also this school lunch topic that you were talking about earlier, it's a hot one. And that does require more than just it can be a grassroots change, but it's going to require something.
Public policies, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, sort of a top-down level. I was so pleased. We were talking in the break about the Slow Food Conference and what a great idea that is. And we should get a delegation from the Wood River Valley to go next year.
We totally want to go to Italy and eat food.
Well, what Alice Waters said this year, and I will quote, "We have to imagine this dramatic change in order to create it. Radical ideas, when conceived with justice and beauty in mind, win people over and inspire them to take action. Feeding all children real food at school is the right thing to do." So inspiration, vision, that's what the food unit's about. That's what nurture is about. That's what our health culture is about. Mm-hmm. That's what we're here to do.
That's
and
what
it's,
we're here to do.
It's exciting.
Yeah. So the vision, so all form first comes thought. We have to think, believe something to be true before it becomes form, the actual hands-on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I talk with the kids a lot about what you think is often what becomes reality.
Yeah. So, and you're doing it. I mean, it's here. You're inspiring. It's beautiful. I'm so happy that you're here on the show and we can get this out more and more.
Well, I hope so. And I hope that we can encourage people to even just listen to a video about Perry Grip. We can encourage people to, and we have a fun song coming up about reducing your sugary soda or sugary drink intake. I mean, that's a simple thing that all of us can do. But we can be role models, just like Michelle Obama asked of the children at the Healthy Lunch Challenge. Become ambassadors to our community. Every day, we are voting with our forks.
Yes.
And on that note, I will say that the kids at the community school at the eighth grade are working with Anna LaPay, who is an author of Diet for a Hot Planet. And do you girls want to speak to some of the...
And her daughter who runs RAN, the Rainforest Alliance. Rainforest Action. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Tilly, are you going to speak?
So,
just putting that connection together right now.
Anna is trying to write a young adult version of Diet for a Hot Planet, and she asked us and we asked her if we could help her out in creating
a storyboard or something?
Yeah, so that she can talk about in her book. And if you've read Diet for a Hot Planet, she did that, some of that a little in it, but we were thinking that if she, for a young adult version, maybe some more of that would be better. And yeah, we were just going to help her out.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Well, what we're trying to do is we're trying to have lots of experiences through our food unit that we can share with her, and she can input those into her book.
So the practicality of what you did and what your outcomes were with it. Yeah.
Because I think that kids are more interested in finding out what other kids are doing like them so that they can see how empowered they are to help.
Yeah, they don't want to be talked down to. They want to say, hey, look what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. And this summer, some of us read Chew on This, which is the young adult version of Fast Food Nation. And I actually read both books, so I could really see the difference there on how Chew on This had more kids' stories.
Yeah. Great. So are you currently writing to her and you have some things worked out already? Or this is a year-long project, I know.
We've had some FaceTime sessions with her, telling her about our ideas and how we think that they could be helpful. Okay. I think we're going to try to get in contact with her pretty soon to tell her the outcomes of our food unit.
Yeah.
It's almost over, unfortunately.
She was really open about anything we can do, any projects she would love to be able to talk about in her book.
Oh, I think the project of taking 100 young children and doing all the food, all the healthy foods and eye candy and having them walk in the room, and that would have been a nice little video.
We have a video, actually, I think.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, if anyone wants to see a video of the food day that the 8th graders put on, they can go to the Nurture website, which is www.nurtureyourfamily.org. And on the right-hand sidebar, you can scroll down and there's an icon for YouTube. And we have a YouTube channel.
Perfect.
And that was the last video that was posted. So if someone clicks on that link, it'll be the first video that comes up. It's less than 3 minutes. It's 2 minutes and a bit. Yeah. And it's fun. It's set to fun music. And it was completely kid-driven or student-driven. Yeah. I can't call you guys kids anymore. And that's actually an important aspect mm-hmm. of what is happening with this food unit is the kids are the leaders in this. They are driving it. They are going towards things that they're interested in. And again, like what Elena was talking about, in understanding their current culture, it allows them to speak to their generation yes. in a way that's so much more effective than what an adult might be able to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, maybe we can find the healthy foods and then put the cool packaging on it, you know, because that's where this advertising is aimed at children.
Absolutely.
Right. So, we get it. We want for children, you want bite-sized pieces, and you want to have your food look really cool and fun. You know, so because we're all attracted to that. So, yeah.
One of the lessons that we're doing, so the Nurture Direct programming that we're involved in this year is mostly through WOW projects. So we're doing some direct programming at Altura School, which was formerly Woodside. Uh-huh. And we're working with the Community School 8th grade and the Community School 5th grade because they chose us as the WOW projects that they were going to work on this year.
The WOW projects.
The WOW projects. So this is the WOW student organization, which is a fantastic idea. In a nutshell, what they do is they ask students to combine resources, time, and talent to put on an incredible event or a series of events that will make a difference in the community. So each child is given $25, but in a group. And so they can make a decision on what nonprofit they want to work with. And then that nonprofit will help guide them towards...
Is that in all the public schools here?
It's in most of them. It's offered to every single student in the Valley. So over 3,000 students can participate in it. And I think the website for that, you can just Google WOW students and it'll come right up. There's some amazing projects to choose from. One of the things that we're doing in the fifth grade WOW project is they wanted to partner with the animal shelter as well. So they chose the Nurture Project, but it was about healthy eating, but that all living creatures
need healthy eating.
Exactly. Yeah. All the way down to our soil, right?
Well,
we were talking about this the other day.
Yeah.
And so So they wanted to understand more about how they could eat healthier. And then we're going to make healthy treats for cats and dogs at the animal shelter. And we're going to bring them these healthy snacks. But all throughout the year,
that
we have lessons
so beautiful.
For these fifth graders. And I wanted to loop back to what you were saying about advertising. So next Monday, we have a lesson with the fifth graders. And we're going to be showing them historic commercials, mostly sugary cereals.
Mm-hmm.
And it is outstanding. The marketers are brilliant.
Oh, yeah. It's a $1 billion business.
And they come up with the funniest slogans and the cutest characters. And so we're going to get the kids able to decipher what those tricks are. I always used to tell my kids when they were young, if it has a cartoon character on it, please don't buy it.
Yeah.
And so we're going to be showing some of those cartoons. And one of the last things we'll do as part of that lesson is the Carrot Growers Association put together a baby carrot advertisement. And again, listeners can Google this on or go to YouTube and search for baby carrot video or baby carrot advertisement. And what the Baby Carrot Growers Association did is they used all the tactics that regular marketers use. You know, they have a flaming, you know, I don't know, a flaming gun and a pterodactyl and a...
And the carrot has arms and legs.
You know, it's crazy action-packed. Yeah. And but it's all about baby carrots. And when I show that to kids, they get really excited about baby carrots. Yeah. And so we have them as a snack right after.
Yeah.
So, but it also gets them to understand that when you're constantly reminded and bombarded by images, and kids see over 60 ads a day, they say.
Yeah.
So they need to be able to filter that out and to understand that they might be manipulated if it's not a healthy food.
It's just where our brain develops in certain stages. And so we are targeting people with their brains are in like the third stage of development there. We don't have an executive thinker on board yet. That comes later, where you guys are in eighth grade are just starting to develop that. You know, so they're invading really a process. And they don't have an ability to look at that as, well, I'll just filter it out. You know, they don't quite have that yet. And so this is very, very tricky subject matter. It's inappropriate.
Well, in other countries, they've banned advertising to children for non-healthy or no nutritive value products. In Mexico, they just passed a law. So it was incredible to see that happening across the globe. And what we can do here in the United States, again, because Nurture isn't a policy-making organization, we're more grassroots. Yeah. So if we can affect what's happening in terms of the kids having the access to those advertisements, is we can educate them. We can get in there and say, this is what's happening. Just so you know, you're aware, you're empowered, and then give them some tools to have that filtering process take place.
You know, Catherine, you give this information out to enough mothers, they're going to get angry. Okay? You don't want mom angry.
Yeah, moms can make a big difference, can't we?
Yeah. We're just going to, you know, just have a sit down in the middle of the street. I mean, say, you're kidding me? You're intentionally doing the, you know, poisoning our children, which is your children. Don't you people have grandchildren? You know, are we not connecting these dots? And if you're not going to take care of us as a or have that kind of integrity, we're going to handle it from here. Thank you very much. You know,
and parent education is a huge piece of this whole puzzle.
Yeah.
And so while we're so excited to be doing WOW projects and working with the students, we hope to continue our parent education programs. And we can do that in partnership with, and we have already, with organizations like Higher Ground, the YMCA, the Hunger Coalition. They already have the infrastructure in place. They're larger organizations. They have the clients and the access. And then we can come in with our expertise and our resources and hopefully, you know, like I said earlier about our mission, support to make a higher impact program.
Well, let's talk about that for 1 second. For a small valley, we have amazing people. So we get everyone connected here and just brainstorm it and basically take to the streets. You know, we're going to change this here. Allie Long is another one of those people who they just wake up breathing this stuff, you know, and get all of the food growers all want to be participating in this because that's how they live. They're growing healthy food. They would like to sell it, thank you. And so we have a huge force here, and that's part of our mission too, is connecting all of these pieces.
And I think this radio show is fantastic for being one of the pieces of that larger puzzle to bring us all together. I was just reading an email this morning about the community food assessment, and I urge all the listeners to go online at the Hunger Coalition, at their website. It's thehungercoalition.org. And one of the top things that you'll see is a link to the community food assessment. It's going to be a year-long project that will be connecting all the players in.
Are you doing that?
I've signed up. I know that, yes. I know that they're going to be deciding.
See each other.
Right. It's so important. I think there's a lot of momentum in this valley right now, which is exciting.
It plays into the bigger picture. Again, if we have children that aren't hyperactive, that aren't taking pharmaceutical drugs, that are going to be more polite to be around, interested, they're easier to teach, We have a nicer community to live in. The whole thing goes from tip to tail here. You know, we have healthier geriatric. Okay, I didn't quite mean it like that. We won't have as many geriatric older folks, you know, and we will have healthier younger people. So it goes across all culture, all age, all religion, and all social economic levels. Right, touches everybody.
Absolutely, and that's the ultimate message, is that when you eat healthier and you have a healthy lifestyle, which includes exercise mm-hmm. and balance across your life, and you know, spiritual and working on all those aspects yeah. that are health, you have a happier life. And who doesn't want to be happy? Yeah. So that's what it's really all about, is doing this work so that we can have happier, healthier lives, and we can all be out on the mountain
more
when we're 100
and content, and yes, and go skiing. And then the other thing that we have is a possible eco-economy.
Right, and an example for the rest of the world.
Yeah. Who, you know, let's go on a ski trip. Oh, and we're going to eat well. We're going to have a really good time because the citizens are so amazing that live there. Kind of like going to Sweden and skiing. Back when they were eating fish all day long. So we have this one more really cute song, YouTube, that you guys gave us to share. And it does, and I do hope you guys who are listening do go watch the YouTube, because it's adorable. It's a father and his children. And it's called Just Pour It Out. So we're going to listen to that.
This goes out to all the soda addicts, yeah. And those who can't put down the sweet tea.
All right, all right.
Don't wanna be a slave to sugar any longer.
No way.
Then change it now.
Oh.
Just pour it out.
It's too sugary, so it's gotta go.
Let's pour it out.
Time to hydrate with some H2O.
We pour it out.
Cause obesity is not our friend. We're gonna stay fit and healthy right to the end.
Hey,
I was a good man, but with a major flaw. I was addicted to what I was sipping through a straw. Every once in a while would have been okay, but I was putting it in my cornflakes. I went all day. Right then my girl came crying.
Dad, let me speak. I want you at my wedding with your real teeth, not looking like a freak.
She staged an intervention, but now I'm down with her intentions. Just pour it out.
It's too sugary, so it's gotta go.
Let's pour it out.
And we're back to our health culture. You're listening to KDPI 89.3 FM. We have been speaking with Catherine Guilet and two students from the community school in eighth grade who have been involved in this Nurture program and looking at videos such as what you were just listening to. Catherine's going to explain a little background history on that. It was a contest, this video?
So that video was, it was the Center for Science and the Public Interest. And they wanted to have their own advertisement against soda. So this dad made the video, and they submitted it, and it was hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's very cute. The children are like 5 and 9 or something in it. And
yeah, I urge everyone to go and find it, because it's worth seeing it. The lyrics are funny, but actually seeing it is better. And what we've used this video for at Nurture is we have a lesson called Better Beverages. And we have the students, again, we're not saying don't have this or don't have that. Instead, yeah. we're asking them, we're giving them some information, and then we're saying, all right, we're going to assign medals to the best beverages. But we're first going to talk about what's in them and yeah. what they might do for your body. And maybe before the lesson, maybe a week or two before the lesson, we've collected a tooth, and I kid you not.
Oh, you got to do it.
And
yeah.
we put it in the soda, and we have that on the side of the classroom so the kids can come and visit that tooth and see. And actually, sometimes we do that with juice as well, and they see that tooth completely deteriorate. First, it turns black, just like the guy in the video. He has those black teeth. But so the kids then are listening to the different beverage options, and because we're a ski town, we can say, all right, well, should we give them a gold medal?
Yeah.
Should we give them a silver medal? Should we give them a bronze medal?
And do when, they even get a medal?
And that's the answer. Yeah. When we ask the kids, what should Cola get as a medal? None. Yeah. Is the answer. And it's so fun to have the kids choose that option in the classroom. Yeah. And a best lesson for
and
me.
You don't have to say a word.
Exactly.
I mean, come on. Oh, look, it's dissolving.
a best lesson is when the kids do all the talking.
Yeah.
And you know, Tilly and Elena have been part of the Nurture program, and Food and Fun program is what we call it here locally. It might be fun to hear what your favorite lesson was,
yeah,
or what your
me.
Favorite story was across the years.
How, and if there so
was
something you've been doing it for how many years, Elena and Tilly?
I've been doing it for 3 years, since fifth grade, but Elena's
been living it.
Yeah, I don't actually know when I started. Sometime in Chicago. So I've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah. So what's your... Do you have any top favorites? You don't have to...
A lesson.
Of lessons, like those videos or...
One of my favorites was when we made smoothies with... Did Lori come? Lori Bunting?
Oh, she's good at that.
And Catherine. We made lots of different kinds of smoothies. They were all so good. I loved them.
What was the favorite recipe?
We made this really good green one. Usually green would turn people off, but we called it the Shrek smoothie.
Different than Shrek, yeah.
We were using the same tactics that marketers use.
Yes.
Put Shrek on it. Oh, and I hope nobody hears this in the Shrek marketing department, but sometimes we will call it... when we put it on our website, we call it the Green Machine, just so that we don't have any copyright infringements. But we're in the classroom.
You can
call it a Shrek smoothie.
Yeah, and then break out into some dance, you know.
Dancing is good. Singing is good. Anything that's fun.
Yeah. So what was in the green smoothie? I just want to know, because we make green drinks, but not smoothie. Smoothie usually means it's got something sweet in it.
Well, there were greens in it, and then there was bananas.
Yeah, there you go. That's
and
yummy.
And just juices. So it was pretty simple, but it tasted really great.
Yeah. And did everybody drink it? Everyone had sampled it anyway?
To the best of my knowledge. I know I had some. I remember when we were making them, I would keep sneaking in the greens because I really liked the taste of them. But it didn't alter the... taste that much, but you knew it was a little better.
Yeah, the banana is great for covering up all kinds of things. Yeah, we freeze our bananas, and it doesn't take very much of a frozen banana to cream up anything that you make.
And I think that having your friends around and having them try the foods is a huge part of what the Nurture program does, and any school nutrition program, because the peer pressure. That can be used in a positive way.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes at home, the parents struggle to get their kids to try things.
That's right.
And
then
they come to class and they'll be happy to try things.
Yeah, that is totally the way to do it. I hope we can get all the grades involved in our small area here in the Wood River Valley. You know, we maybe more parents as, remember when you would come to kindergarten here? And I remember it's half day, and the teacher asks me not if I could volunteer. She said, so which day do you want to sign up for? And I went, oh, okay, that's how school in this valley goes. So if we can get more of the parents that we know are volunteering anyway to get involved with possibly your Nurture program, and it's going through every classroom.
I would love that, too. That would be a dream come true to see all children have this education. And all you listeners out there, you can go to the Nurture website, and there's a contact link right on there. You can email us and let us know if you're interested in volunteering and maybe what school you're involved with. There are actually a lot of organizations out there. After we did this huge year last year where we were in every school across the valley, we did such a great job doing program evaluation results. We had some fantastic people working with the kids. We proved that this was a worthwhile thing.
Yeah.
We got feedback from teachers, from parents, from kids, and it's all documented. It's all ready to go. All we need now is...
So can we put it in the weekly Friday folder that goes home with the children that says, here's the website, here's the phone number, give us a call? Or is your program ready for that kind of launch? For
yeah, we have been doing that. We have all of our materials are available in Spanish and in English. Yeah. And every time we taught a lesson, we did have an insert in the Friday folders. We just need to figure out how this grassroots ground level support is going to rise and what shape it's going to take. But I do think there are a lot of entities ready out there
to make
it happen.
Yeah. Okay. And this is part of how it's happening. This has been awesome. Thank you, ladies, for coming into the show today at KDPI 89.3 on our health culture.
Thank you.
It's been fun. And we've got recipes you've given us, too. We love recipes. Catherine is going to come back next week. We are going to talk about the slow food movement, which we've alluded to a little bit. We're going to talk about Joe Salatin, who will be in Boise the following Tuesday, and about Jean... I can't remember her last name.
Pinsafinolin.
Yes, that's why I can't remember it. she is going to be actually here in the Valley speaking at the community school. So we're going to be talking a lot more about that and encouraging everybody, even if you can't come, to at least know about it and have other links and information about this very, very important food movement, how to save ourselves and the planet. Hey, thanks for listening to our health culture. Ciao, everybody. 0.3.